Thank you so much. Thank you. As I said before, I want you to praise the Lord and rejoice with me. There's nothing I would expect God to do for me than that which He has done. Save me. Call me to tell the love of Jesus Christ among my native people. That's the joy of my heart. And also, I thank you for the part you have in praying and backing us to tell people in our village, across Nigeria, that Jesus died for them. I thank you so much. First, I'd like to share my testimony with you. I've seen one thing with your pastor, which I appreciate a lot. Many times when I go to churches to preach, they cannot pronounce my last name, so they will go, Brother Solomon. But your pastor had made an attempt. When I was in school, my last name is Owolabi. When I was in school, the students just cannot pronounce my last name. I used to work on scholarship and work on a vacuum carpet. Anytime they want to call me, they will say, Solomon in the lobby. Whenever they say Solomon in the lobby, I know it is me they are calling, so I'll have to respond. But Pastor had been able to call my last name. I thank God for that. Many times when I go to churches to speak, people will be looking at my faces. When they'll see my face, they wonder why I have the marks on my face. I remember I was in Ohio and I had to preach. The pastor had me seated right in the front pew. As I was sitting there, I saw two boys. They were just walking towards me. One was timid. One was very bold. The bold one came and he sat just by my side. He looked at my face. Then he grinned. He looked at my face again. Then he tapped my shoulders. Then he asked me, are you from Africa for real? When he said, so, yes, I said, yes, I'm from Africa for real. Then I saw the second one coming to me. Then he said, how come you have this mark on your face? I was going to explain to him how I got the marks. But the bold one said, the lions really got him good. He thought probably the lions in Africa saw me and tore me into pieces. But this is not the mark of a lion. Many, many years ago in Africa, when a child is born, in my tribe, they will put this mark on his face to identify that child with his tribe. For example, if I walk anywhere in Africa, anyone who sees me without asking me a question, just by mere looking at my face, they'll be able to know the tribe that I belong to. They'll be able to know the town that I come from. They'll be able to know the language, the dialect that I speak. And they'll be able to know the village that I even come from. I have another mark across my nose. My grandfather is the chief of our tribe. We have 2 million people in my tribe. And my grandfather is the chief. After he dies, my father will become a chief. But I'm the first son of my father. Someday, I can become a chief. So this mark on my nose identifies me with a royal line. But today, because I have put faith in Jesus Christ, I can no longer become a chief in my country, among my tribe. And when my tribal people look at me, they think I've lost everything. But there's one thing they don't know. I haven't lost anything. I have gained much. Amen. Even though I cannot be a chief in my tribal people, I am a child of a king. Amen. One day I will rule with Jesus. They see the marks on their face. But apart from the mark on the face, I have the greatest and the best of all marks. And that is the mark of Jesus Christ. Amen. It is the mark within. The Apostle Paul, in Galatians 6:17, he said, from henceforth, lest no man trouble me, for I bear in my body the mark of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Today, the mark I boast about, the mark that I glorify in, is the mark of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And I thank God He saved me.
Amen.
The Bible says, where there is no vision, the people perish. I have not perished today because somebody had a vision. I'm not perished today because a church like you had a vision to believe that Jesus died for the whole world.
Amen.
And somebody left the comfort of America to come to tell me about Jesus Christ. Many years ago, before a missionary came to my country, I was in darkness, on my way to hell. I was worshiping and serving the God of my ancestors. And do you know, can you imagine 2 million people serving a stone god? A stone god. The whole tribe would meet together and would bow down to a stone god. My father, in our home, we have this stone god right in the center of our house. When we get sick, instead of taking us to the hospital, we'll be brought before the stone god. When we are brought before the stone god, we'll all bow down to the stone god. When we bow down to the stone god, my father, who is the head of the home, he will hold a chicken in his hand. As he holds the live chicken, he'll be talking to the stone god. He'll be talking to the stone god. And while he'll be talking to the stone god, all at a sudden, he'll just tear the chicken head off. When he tears the chicken head off, a hot blood will be oozing out of the chicken. He'll drain the blood of the chicken. The hot blood, he'll drain it and pour it right on the stone god. Then after he drains the blood, while the chicken is struggling to die, he'll drop the chicken down. And the chicken will be struggling to die, struggling to die. If that chicken dies with the stomach facing the sky, it means that stone god has accepted the sacrifice. But if that chicken, if it doesn't die, if it dies without the stomach facing the sky, we'll keep on sacrificing, keep on sacrificing, sometimes 15 chickens, until one dies with the stomach facing the sky. I thank Jesus today. It is not the blood of chicken.
Amen.
It is the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, that takes away my sins. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. It's Jesus' blood. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission for sin. My sins are forgiven today because of the blood of Jesus. And I thank God for that. While I was worshiping this God, missionaries came to my country. When the missionaries came, our parents saw the missionaries and they called all of us. They said, no one should ever talk to the missionaries. When we see the missionaries, we literally run. People who had come to bring light will always run to the darkness. Don't know what the Bible said? The world loved darkness rather than light. Whenever the missionaries are coming to us, we'll run. And God gave the missionaries a great wisdom. Since they could not reach us, they decided they would build a high school. Our parents, they wanted us to get education. And they felt that if they build a high school, they'll be able to reach us with the gospel. So these missionaries built a high school. And when they built a high school, our parents sent us to the high school. So I was sent to the high school. But I remember the night before I went to the high school, I was put before the stone god. And my parents made sacrifices. And they told me they are dedicating me fully to the stone god. And the stone god is going to protect me. The stone god is going to take care of me. But if I ever listen to the missionary, if I ever hear their story about another god, that stone god will kill me. They say he will struck me to death immediately. So So I left home with fear. Went to the school. When I got to the school, the next day, the missionary says, everybody who had come to the school should go to chapel. When they told me that, I was shaken. My parents have already warned me. I fear our God. I fear our God will kill me if I ever go to chapel. So while all the students were going to chapel, I took off to the woods. Just running for my life. Running so that our God, our strong God, would not kill me. When I went to the woods, I sat all by myself. I climbed a tree. And I had with me some books and I was reading. At this time, all the African students, they were all in chapel. They were all in chapel. While they were in chapel, I was in a very dark jungle. It was cold, but I was there, reading some books. I didn't want to listen to the missionary. But you know why I was in that bush? I felt a very cold touch, just like someone placing an ice block right behind my neck. When I felt the cool touch, I didn't know what it was, so I shifted my head just to see it. And here I saw a big python. It has crawled around the tree and has stretched part of the mouth, the python's mouth, touched me like ice block. When I saw the python, I left my book, started running back to the school. I ran. I was afraid. When I got there, they were all in chapel. But because I was frightened, I wanted to be where people were. So I was forced to go to chapel. Because I wanted to be among the people. I wasn't feeling secured. When I got to chapel, I saw the missionary standing behind the pulpit, preaching the word of God. The first thing he says, you are sacrifices. God is angry with you. The first thing I said in my mind, who told him about our sacrifice? How did he know? Then the missionary went on that we sacrifice chicken, goats. God is not happy. And he said, God has provided for himself a perfect sacrifice. And that sacrifice is his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. As I sat there, I started comparing the two sacrifices. I said, my parents' sacrifice is a chicken. But this man is talking about a sacrifice of a person, God's son. That must be greater. Then he said, Jesus died, his blood atoned for our sins. And if we make any other sacrifices, God would be angry. Then he quoted John 3:18. He that believeth in him is not condemned. In my own language. And then he said, he that believeth not is condemned already. That word already. In my own language means, you are finished. When I heard it, I said, finished? And the missionary went further. Said, as many as will receive God's sacrifice, the Lord Jesus Christ, God will give them the power to become his children. That was good news. He gave an invitation. Many Africans got saved. A thought came to my mind. I want the missionaries gone. But a thought came to my mind and said, you stand up and walk there and you will be dead. Your father's God will kill you. I didn't want to die. But I want to accept the missionaries gone. I held to my chair. Then the next thing I saw, the missionary's wife. He came forward, stood in front of the pulpit, started singing, what can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus Christ. And as I saw the lady, tears were coming down. Tears were running down and they were dropping. I said, this lady is so serious. Why is she crying? Crying for me? I said, if the lady will cry for me, why the husband will say, come to Jesus. I said, the matter is serious. The thought came to me, said, you take a step and walk forward and you'll be dead before you get there. As I saw the lady with tears, I said, I'll go. If the missionary is God, if he's a great God that he talks about, even if I'm going and I'm dead on the way, that God will know that I'm coming to him while I'm dead. And then I decided in my mind that I would rather be dead saved. I would rather be dead saved than to be sitting there and go to hell. I took the first step. It wasn't a step for death, but for life. That was the greatest step I took in my life. The second step, I didn't die. Then I began to realize that I was making up my mind that the missionary's God must be a greater God than my father's God. Because first step, he didn't kill me. Second step, he didn't kill me. Then he's greater God. I went forward. The missionary lady reached me, opened the Bible, and pointed me to the Savior. That was the beginning of excitement in my life. My sins were all forgiven. I have a new story to tell the world. The story that Jesus saves and changes life. When the missionary pointed me to my Savior, the first thing, my first victim, my mother, I went home. They gave me a Bible. I would read the Bible and I would tell the story to my mother. And I told my mother I gave my life to Jesus. My mother said, you better be quiet. Don't ever let your father hear that. You will be dead. I knew it. And if my father hears about it, I will be dead. He said, I should never say anything. My mother started to take the Bible from me. I went and took the Bible back. Then I will read the story of the Bible. When I read the story of Jesus, I'll tell my mother. When I read the story of Jesus, I'll tell my mother. And my mother saw that my life had changed. My mother got saved. She gave her life to Christ. She told me never to tell my mother, my father, when I got saved. But when she got saved, she went and told my father. When he told my mother, my father, we're all driven away from the house. Were completely neglected, isolated. The missionaries took us. We stayed with the missionaries who pray, no food. The missionaries who give us food. After 18 good months of prayer, my father's heart melted. He never accepted Jesus. He called my mother back. But he said to me, he said, you brought the whole thing. You will never come to me again. But thank God. When my father and mother forsake me, then would Jesus take me to himself. Then I started witnessing, telling people about Jesus, going to the villages. When the missionaries saw this, they felt I should go to a Bible school. So they sent me to America to get education. But brothers and sisters, I want to say this today. If the grace of God, the amazing grace of God, can reach this wretched sinner in the jungle of Africa, you need not to go to hell. America, you are blessed. Blessed with the gospel. Salvation is real. Christ can save you. Religion is not the answer. You must know Jesus Christ. He saved me. I know he changed my life. And he can do the same for you. Don't sit in a country where you hear Jesus, 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 and it becomes meaningless. Jesus is able to save. Please, my friend, look at me. If Jesus can save a wretched Africa in the jungle, he can save you right now. Amen. He that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast him out. Amen. He loves you. He died for you. He died for me. He changed my life. He's real. I'm not sure of many things. I'm sure of one thing. If I die today, I'm going to heaven. Amen. Because of my faith in Jesus Christ. That's all. That's all. Don't be religious and go to hell. Meet the Savior. Open your heart and let him come in and change your life. And you know that heaven is your home. Not only did Christ save me, the missionary sent me to America to get education. I went to temple for 7 years. But let me say this today. The greatest education I got in America is that the Jesus who saved me in Africa is alive. The Jesus that saved me in Africa, he is a living Savior. Amen. He is not dead. He died. He rose up again. And he's alive. Amen. Philippians 3:10. Paul says, that I might know him and know the power of his resurrection. If he's resurrected, the power that raised him, I want to know it. God showed me that power. That the Savior who died for me rose up again and is alive. And that's the greatest education I had in America. You know why I'm able to go to the Muslims? I know my God is real. I know he has promised never to leave me nor forsake me. So I'm not afraid. I learned this in America. Jesus became real, a living reality. When I talk about Jesus, my Jesus, I'm not talking about God who is there. I'm talking about God who's here. Amen. Christian, how real is Christ to you? I mean the reality, knowing that he's a person that you can touch, you can feel, he can work, he's mighty. I learned that in America. It was an unpleasant experience. But I tell you this, it's the most joyous experience I had in life. It's an experience that taught me that I have a Savior who lives, who acts, and he moves, and that my God is real. Amen. You know, when I was coming to America, the missionaries they got me a scholarship to work 35 hours in temple. I thank God for that. After they've gotten me the scholarship, they said, Solomon, you'll be going to America, our country, and you'll be going to school there. But when you take a plane from Africa, the first place where you'll be landing will be New York. When you get to New York, you have to change plane. You have to go to LaGuardia Airport to get another plane to take you to Tennessee. I had it all written. So the missionary gave me a wallet. I've never owned a wallet, never seen a wallet. And in that wallet, he put $10 American, one. And said, Solomon, whenever you get to New York, when you get to New York, call for a taxi to take you to LaGuardia Airport, and they will charge you $10. Just give them the money. And then they will take you to the airport, join another plane, and go to, and they will take you to Tennessee. So, I came to New York. Can you imagine an African who has come to New York for the first time? Everything was different. Everything was big. And here I came, the plane landed around 2 o'clock in the morning. When I got there, I collected my suitcases. There were two, and I started carrying them on my head. Everybody was looking at me. As if I was strange. I was just going. I didn't pay attention to anybody. Then I wanted to call for a taxi. I didn't know how. So I asked the man, I said, hey, I want to go to LaGuardia Airport. How can you help me? The man showed me. He just called for me. He said, go and stand there. I went and stood there. It was around 2:15 in the morning. When I stood outside, a taxi came. When the taxi came, I tried to push. The driver came out, and I was helping him, and we put my suitcases in the taxi. I was going to say $10. I dipped my hand in my pocket to get the wallet. The wallet was gone. I didn't know a single person in America. I stood there, and what really killed me, the driver started taking my things out. He was taking them out, my suitcases. He took them out and left. He drove off. I was literally shedding tears. I said, what can I do? There and then, I opened my suitcases, tried to inspect my clothes. Who want my clothes? I said, maybe I should sell my clothes. Who want them? I love the suitcase. I carry my suitcase on my head. Anybody I try to call, they run away from me. I just cried. Christians, you remember the songwriter? Say, are you weary? Are you heavy-hearted? Tell it to Jesus. For no other person will listen. Tell it to Jesus. God took all I've got to show me great things. God took everything I've got so that I can learn to depend upon Jesus. God took everything I got so that I can look up. I thank God for it. Then New York. Everything failed me. Everything failed me. Then I remember the missionary said, Jesus said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Then the thought came to my mind. I said, yes, he said so. And then one thing I said, the missionary taught us that God is everywhere. So I said, if God is everywhere, he must be in New York. You know what I did? I cried. My mind went back to Africa. I could picture my mother. I know my mother. She would do everything at her power to get me out of New York if she were to be there. But where is she? Far away in Africa. And here I stood in New York, stranded. Souls in danger, look above. Jesus completely saved. He promised to save, and he promised to keep. I couldn't look anywhere else but look up to Jesus. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. It's a joyous look. It's a blessed look. It's a look of comfort and encouragement. I lifted my head. And I piled the suitcases together in New York airport. Then with tears, I placed my head right on the two suitcases. The first thing I say, God, are you here? The missionary say you are everywhere. So if you're everywhere, are you here? I just pour my heart to God. I didn't pray a prayer like Jesus, Lord, you know. I just said, God, are you here? If you are here, I'm giving you two things. And make a choice. Do one now. Now. I said, I gave God a choice. I said, do one now. And do it now. Two choices. Choose one and do it now. That's how I went before God. Oh, the power of prayer. No wonder Jesus says, men ought to always pray. Christian, do you pray? Prayer is power. Prayer makes God real. And prayer put God in action. I say, God, if you are here, either you take me back to Africa right now, I'm ready, or you send me to Tennessee. How you do it, I don't know, but choose one and do it now. Christian, when we don't pray, we become powerless. When we don't pray, we won't sleep. Trouble would beat us. When we don't pray, we'll be afraid. Oh, lifted my burdens. And I believe that songwriter, burdens will be lifted at Calvary. Not only bad enough sin, but bad enough cares, bad enough worries. They will be lifted at Calvary. At the cross of Jesus, I knelt and called on Him. And God just lifted my burden. As soon as I finished praying, I have another problem. There was a door in front of me. And I wouldn't trust anybody in New York. I have 2 suitcases. I want to carry the 2 suitcases through the door all at once. And I don't want anybody to help me. I don't want to pick one and leave one. They may steal it. So I said, God, will you help me? I'm going to carry 1 suitcase on my head and I will hold one by the hand. And God, I pray, help me to pass through so that my suitcases won't fall and people won't laugh. So I was making my way, getting to the door. When I got closer to the door, that door went wide open by itself. Oh, I shook and I dropped the whole suitcase. I put them down and I went around. Praise the Lord. I was all excited. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. One man saw me praising the Lord. He said, "Hey, where are you from?" I was all excited. I said, "From Africa." He said, "What are you praising the Lord for?" I said, "Can't you see the door? Can't you see it open? Can't you see it?" The man looked at me and said, "You are not." Then he said, "The Lord didn't open the door for you. The door was electricity." And then he tried to explain. I still didn't get it. I said, "Praise the Lord anyway." I went through the door. And I went and sat down. While I was sitting down, it was getting to 3:00. Sat down. And you know what? I was tired. I didn't know anybody. And I was dozing. I had my Bible beside me. And I put my feet right on my suitcases. My ticket was here, so I folded my arm so that nobody can get to it. And I was dozing. But thank God, while I was sleeping over my problems, the Lord God of Israel does not sleep nor slumber. He that keepeth Israel, he doesn't sleep nor slumber. He was working. He was working. God was on my side. Of whom shall I be afraid? You know, while I was dozing, not knowing that a man was watching me, and he saw my Bible, a torn Bible. I read my Bible, torn. The man came. While I was dozing, he pat my shoulder. The first thing he asked me, when I opened my eyes, I wanted to be sure my suitcases were there. So they were. Then he asked me, "Say, are you saved?" I said, "I'm born again." Then the man, when I spoke, he knew I wasn't from America. Then he said, "Hey, what brought you to our country?" I said, "I'm going to go to a Bible school." The man was so surprised. "Bible school?" I said, "Yes." Then he asked me my marks. He was asking me different questions. I didn't want to mind him because, you know. But the man was so nice. He said, "Where are you going to Bible school?" I said, "Tennessee." He said, "Tennessee? Well, well. This is a small world," he said. Then he said, "Where in Tennessee?" I couldn't pronounce Chattanooga very well. So he said, "You want to see my ticket?" I said, "Oh, no. Not my ticket. Oh, not my ticket." So he stood there. And when he asked for my ticket, I said, no, I didn't want to give it to him. I just watched him. I didn't say a word. And then I saw him taking a comb to comb from the, he had a briefcase. He opened the briefcase and I saw some Bible there. I saw some tracts. Then I said, "Well, this man might be a Christian. He has a Bible." So I gave him my ticket. When he saw Chattanooga, the man was shocked. He said, "Well, well, you are going to Chattanooga, Tennessee." He said, "Behold, on the same plane with me, And then he told me, my name is Reverend Ben Hayden. I'm a Presbyterian preacher. I've come to New York to preach, and I'm going to Chattanooga. You know, you're going in the same plane with me. Jeremiah 33:3. Look at the whole America. Look at the faces you can see all the way to New York, all over America. Millions of people. 3 o'clock in the night. And in New York, thousands of people. God couldn't get anybody in the whole America to talk to me for the first time as someone from Chattanooga, Tennessee. That coincidence? Jeremiah 33:3. Call upon me. Call upon me. Never call upon God before like I did in New York. And let me tell you this. He answered. I learned that day that I have God who hears the cry of his children.
Amen.
I call, he answered. And he showed me great and mighty things in New York.
Amen.
While I was aimless, I couldn't understand American English. When they called the flight, the man said they've called the flight. He carried one of my suitcases, put in the taxi. He said, come in. He didn't know what had happened to me. All the way to LaGuardia Airport. God said, I will supply all your needs. He met every need. Whatever you are depending upon, it will fail you. Whatever you depend upon from Jesus, it will fail you. I know this. Jesus will never fail. He didn't fail me in America. The man put me in the plane. Penniless. But thank God I had Jesus. He is not only a savior to me. He's a sufficient savior. He's a sufficient savior. Beautiful for every situation. The man put me in the plane all the way from New York to Tennessee. But you know, on my way from New York to Tennessee, instead for me to praise God, to thank God, you know what my problem was? I sat in the plane. They gave me food I wouldn't eat. The man was encouraged, eat. I said, you don't know what I'm going through. I was thinking, you know why? I said, God, if I get to Chattanooga, how am I going to get to the school? You know, I don't have any money. They've taken everything from me. How am I going to get to the school? If I get to Chattanooga Airport now, my problem is how to get to temple. Oh, no wonder the Bible says, oh, ye of little faith. I was faithless. God has provided a way from New York to Tennessee. I'm now worried from the airport to the school. Oh, ye of little faith. I was faithless. But without faith, Hebrews 11:6, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God might believe that he is. He is alive.
Amen.
He is active.
Yeah.
He is. And he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Have faith in God. Please have faith in God. By faith you look to Jesus. When we got to Chattanooga, the man didn't leave me. In fact, he showed me where to collect my suitcases. He carried one. I carried one. He led me outside. I thought he was going, my heart was beating as if he was going to leave me. While we were standing, the wife came with a car. He put my suitcases in. He drove me to temple. Praise God. He's real. I came to America. Time is gone. Oh, I wish I had time. I came to America for 2 good weeks in this country. Never had soup. I don't have money. If the students were to know that I didn't have soup, I know many of them, they would give me soup. I know them. But you see, I was homesick.
If they had all found out and they tried to give me soup, I would cry more because I was homesick. So I didn't let them know. But you know, for 2 weeks after I found that, I wasn't looking well. So what I did, after 2 weeks with those soup, I decided I would go under the water after they have taken their shower. I'll collect pieces of soap. I'll join them together. I used soap to paste for 2 weeks. And used soap for toothpaste. I didn't have anything. One day, the students were taking their shower. My soap had finished. I wanted them to come out of the shower so that I can go under there to collect the broken soap. They won't come. When one finishes, another one will go. Oh, I decided I must go since they will make me late. When I got to the class, the teacher told me, Solomon, you are tardy and you've gone over 15 minutes, so you are late. He sacked me. On my way to my dorm, I said, God, I can't go to class because I was waiting for soap. You know, in Africa, my country, if I don't have soap at all, I can always go to my mother and I can use her soap. And you say you are greater than my mother. Can't you give me soap? By the time I got to my room, I just cried like a baby. I cried. After pouring, crying, I stood right in the center of the building, the room. And I knelt down and said, God, look, what kind of preacher do you want to make me? Have you brought me to America to kill me? I said, now, I want to talk to people about Jesus. If I go talking to them, and I stink, can they hear? Do you want to make me a stinking preacher? Oh, I just cried. Then I said, God, I don't know how you are going to do it. But if you are the one who sent me here, I need soap. And I need toothpaste. If you can give that, please give me two. I cried and poured my heart to God. Thursday, I went to work. I came, I poured water on myself and went to class. Second day, the third day, 5 o'clock in the evening, I was coming to my room. We are 4 people who live in the room. I saw a big box, about this big, about this height. On that box, I thought it was for my roommates. They've written, Solomon Owolabi, to Solomon Owolabi, from Ladies Missionary Society of Highland Park Baptist Church. I pushed that box in. Fortunately for me, my roommate also came. 2 of us, we just pushed that thing inside. I opened that thing. Soap. I had soap to last me 6 months. Toothpaste. Plenty. Other things. Look, shampoo. Never used shampoo in my life. Shampoo was there. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and grief to bear. What a privilege. What a privilege to carry everything to God. Oh, trust in Jesus. What a needless pain. What a needless pain. Using soap to paste. Wasn't that a needless pain? When I can pray. When I have God who's big enough. Is there anything too hard for God? Many of you are doing like I did. Instead of enjoying abundant riches of God's blessings, peace, joy, you are using soap. Trust Him. Oh, it's so sweet to trust in Jesus. Take Him at His word. Every one of His promises are real. He made them for you. he had in mind. I claimed them all in America. He gave me all. 7 years. He's a sufficient savior. I'll have to close. My faith looks after Jesus. Him alone. He never failed me. One day, you know, America, it took me a long time to get used to America. See, in my school, Temple, they want you to be in a certain place at the right time. Be in one place at the right time. They were driving me. I'm not used to that. See, in Africa, we go by the sun. Here, it's time. You are late. So, one time, in that box, I've been watching my roommates. I never told them I didn't have soap. Whenever they take their shower, they'll come into the room, they'll grab a can, spray here. And also when I got the box, I also grabbed a can. After I took a fresh shower, I grabbed here, I sprayed here and sprayed here. I went to the classroom. The sun was coming up. Then I told my roommate, say, brother, I don't feel good. He said, what's wrong? I said, you know, I used the thing you used, that thing you used. He said, what thing? Did you use mine? I said, oh, I didn't use yours. I used mine. And I said, no, you have. He said, what thing? I said, the thing you spray here. He said, I saw you have plenty in your box. I said, I used one, but I don't feel good. Then my roommate said, how do you feel? I said, I feel hard up here. My shirt is hard, you know. And then my roommate said, Solomon, it doesn't make people hard. I said, but it does to me, you know, I just stood like that. So my roommate says, okay, when we get to break, you go with me to the room, and then he will see what I use. So during the break, we went to the room, said, now Solomon, show me what you use. I grabbed the can and gave it to him. So, oh, brother, it was a spray start. I didn't know the difference. You know what I say to that? God says he will bless you more abundantly than you expect or ask. I ask for a soup, he meant spray starts. Deodorant, plenty he gave to me. God is so good. He is a good God.
Amen.
Caring God. Whenever I write a letter, I say, praise be to the Lord. Loving and caring God. He cared for me. I was so hungry. They told me I was late. I couldn't go to the dining hall. I begged the lady. I said, Madam Parker, please let me in. If you don't let me go into the dining hall, I have no way to eat. He said, Solomon, you are late like everyone else. I turned. On my way to my room, I said, God, did you hear what the woman said? He said, I'm late like anyone else. Now you show me how we eat. Where are we? I didn't have a penny. No penny. I went and changed. I vacuumed carpet 35 hours. I was vacuuming. And I felt I was really hungry. I looked at the windows. There was nobody there. I knelt down. I held a chair. So God, in Africa, my mother will give me food. Here, I don't have penny, a cent I don't have. They took it in New York. I'm reminding you again. Now, God, you know I cannot beg and I can't steal. You say, you know all things. Set me. You know I'm hungry. Please give me 25 cents for French fries. After I prayed, I left the vacuum cleaner. I went and checked my mailbox. There was nothing there. I look across a room where they sell a restaurant where they sell French fries. I saw American boys and girls. They'll be talking to their boyfriends, talking to their girlfriends. They'll collect French fries in their hands, put it in ketchup, start eating it. I can see it, I can smell it, but I don't get to eat. I went and stood by the tree and said, God, would you please give me French fries. What do these people have in you that I don't have? Tell me! Why they can eat? And you will deny me French fries. I stood by the tree and held the tree so tight, I said, God, please give me French fries. Hungry! I said, if you don't have the money, I don't know how you do it, but I need some food. I went back again, look at them. I just cried. Soon as I was leaving the building, get out of the door, a missionary by name of Mike Bentley met me. I met him in summer, and he had graduated. He left for Michigan. He said, Solomon, how are you? I said, I'm doing fine. He said, how's your classes? I said, I'm fine. He said, I am from Michigan going to Florida. I just stopped to say hello to you. Me? The whole Chattanooga! He stopped to say hello to me. You know what? Casting all that care upon Jesus. He cared for you. He died for you. What else can't he give to you? The moment he was talking to me, how do you find classes? I said, I'm fine. He shook my hand. When he shook my hand, I saw him slipping $5 into my hand. But after, he wouldn't let my hand go. He was still holding my hand and was talking, and I saw the $5. I said, God, please let him leave my hand. So I said, God, please let him leave my hand. So, well, Brother Solomon, I got to go. I said, thank you, God bless you. I went back to that restaurant. I ate 5 packs of French fries. I still had some change left. He loved me. He loves you. Ye have not, because ye ask not. Ask, and ye shall what? Seek, and ye shall what? Find. The only reason why you and I are going through, you and me, are going through a lot of problems, because we have refused to ask Jesus. He said, everyone who asks, receives. Everyone who seeks, finds. But what about me? What about you? We do not have, because no faith to ask. No wonder the disciples of Jesus said, Lord, teach us to pray. Christian, how real, alive, active, living is God to you? How is your prayer life? Shallow. No wonder, no joy, no peace, no excitement. May God teach us to pray. And may God increase our faith in Jesus Christ. You know what? America was my happiest place in the whole world. 7 years, I saw God meeting every need. And I smiled. When I kneel down, I just tell Jesus, please do it again. I've seen him done it all the time. Listen, oh happy day, oh happy day, when Jesus washed my sins away. Amen. And not only that, he taught me to watch and pray and live rejoicing. When? Every day. I'm a happy man. The same happiness that Jesus has given to this man, he can give to you. May God teach us to pray. May he increase your faith. Today, if you don't know Jesus, that's why it began in Africa, when I accepted him. When he saved me and made me his child. He made me his child. And then he taught me to trust him. It is so sweet to trust him. Do you pray? If your prayer life is so shallow, I want you to join me and say, let's pray, brother. I want to get nearer to God. I want to see the hands of God moving around me. If you have a burden, I want you to come to the cross. Every burden, my Savior can take it and lift it up. There's nothing too hard. And you Christians may be faith. You're faithless. May God increase our faith. May we come to Jesus today. Draw near to him. He'll draw nearer to you. May God bless you. Pastor.